A gospel work going on in downtown Fresno since 1955. I'm talking about the good work of the Evangel Home of Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis. This is the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. I welcome you to Heartline. And may I introduce your Heartline host, Jim Tuck.
Thanks again, Ken. We appreciate your ministry to us at Evangel Home by taking our conversations and wrapping them up and opening them up and presenting a package on this Christian radio station. You're a good man. We love you. Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you, et cetera, et cetera. Jerry Brenneman, 24 years at Evangel Home.
Can you believe that? May 16th, 1988, I walked through these doors and thought, uh-oh.
What have I done?
Oh, God, what have you done to me? Yeah. Yes, 24 wow. years this month. I begin my 24th year. Wow.
So over the years, of course, there's going to be highlights and lowlights and memorable people. And there's going to be some, of course, you don't remember. And we're not going to ask
Let's
you to
talk
about those.
Yeah, you set me up for that one.
But my Here's word, 24 years, that's a big chunk of your life on the planet that has been so focused on this ministry. I mean, you've got memories of growing up and memories of another career or two and an education. But then the bulk of That's your right. productive professional life has been right here behind this front door. And so you got 8 minutes. Wrap it up.
And to think that I've been blessed to have a calling. I've been blessed to live long enough that I can say I dedicated my life to something. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone gets that privilege. Right. And to be able to dedicate my life to something that means something is just the 24 years have been it's God changing me as much as anything else. And I've said that before, too, that many people could be the director here. Mm-hmm. But he put me here to work on me. And
I want to talk about vision just a little bit. I don't know who I was listening to. I heard him say, a vision without action is a daydream, mm-hmm. and action without vision is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Or the kind of people that say, I just have vision, I don't do details. That's mm-hmm. the other little mm-hmm. one of those. Because you have to see the vision, but I think you have to anticipate the details. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing with someone yesterday about, no one ever says, under my watch, we shrunk. Under my watch, we lost all this stuff. Everyone yeah. says, oh, under my watch, this grew and this expanded. Well, under my time of being a steward of this place, some things have grown and some things have shrunk. Mm-hmm. We've lost some things that, in fact, I wish that we hadn't. Some things have grown that maybe they grew too big, and we need to look at them.
You want to be a little more specific?
I probably should be. I'm thinking some of the things that we've lost. I just think of some people that I wish were still here, not necessarily to death, but we just lost them for whatever reason. Maybe graduates that we should have done a better job with preparing them for when they got out there. Those are things I think we should do better, and I should have seen it. When someone leaves here, they're not really necessarily prepared to keep it all together once they get out. Yeah. But if you can look back and say, what could I have improved? And then that can feed your next vision. Hmm. We have that happening all the time, Jim, that in fact, I posted something on Facebook last night being thankful that here I am surrounded by strong, humble women on staff yes. that are willing to say, God, show me what I might have done wrong in mm-hmm. that situation. Mm-hmm. And we had that happen the other day. That's the kind of stuff I'm very proud of, because that wouldn't have happened before being, you know, 10 years, 24, whatever. We were right. The staff was right. I'm the staff. You're just going to respect me. Well, surprise, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. If you have to tell someone to respect you, honey, you've already lost it. I don't need to go through life and say, I'm the director, respect me. Uh-uh. Anyway, that kind of stuff happened, not with me, but with a staff member. There were some issues that went on. We maybe could have handled it better, or maybe not.
Yeah.
But the person that was dismissed was quite shocked that we invited her to come back and talk to us. Maybe she'll come back, maybe she won't. But there's things we can learn better for the next time that we'll do better. So those sort of little mistakes can really fuel your vision. And I think we have to always be looking at trends. Hmm. who's coming to us, who's coming to the door that maybe 10 years ago we would not have let in. People with serious mental issues, bipolar, we would have always said no, and yet we probably would have had them. And we've learned that maybe we can work with some of them and maybe we can't. We've got to look at the trends and see how do we need to change. If we stayed the same as we were in 1955 when we opened, we'd have nobody. So it's a good thing we've changed a bit. Because those sort of folks in 1955 who were out on the street or really needed help, for the most part, aren't the ones anymore.
We
still have alcoholics. They're different than they were because they're more long-term. And we still have unwed mothers. But that's not an issue that gets you homeless too much anymore. Right. So those things have changed.
You've got a card written down with a bunch of notes here. You have something on your mind you'd like to share, and I haven't even read the card.
Oh, well, you wouldn't be able to without having
So we've got about five or six minutes. I want to hear what's on your heart as you recall and consider 24 years.
When I think of 24 years, and I don't think, oh, the budget was this and now it's this, and you know the property was this and now it's this. Mm-hmm. I think of people, mm-hmm. and I think of phrases. Mm-hmm. And the phrases that just, you know, I'm here, and you know, Jim, my office is right in the middle of the crisis home. So there's always something going on, and I'm always closing my doors because sometimes I don't want to hear it. But I'm very, very thankful that my office is right in the midst of all this. And as I think about what I've learned here, putting the action to the vision and having the vision, four phrases come to my mind that I think really summarize our ministry. Mm. And one of them was from a little guy, who 9 years old, named Daniel. And Daniel was a tall, lanky kid, I remember, with his hair hanging down in his eyes. And he had very, very large feet. And in his shoes were just, he was trying to go to school. And, you know, the kids who walk to school with holes in their shoes, there really are those kids out there. And Daniel was one of them. He had holes in the soles, and he also had holes on the top where his toes were going through. And on this radio show, we asked for shoes. And somebody mailed him in a pair of tennis shoes.
Wow.
And I got to give them to Daniel. Mm. So we're in the chair in the dining room, and I gave him the shoes. And what he said to me was, "You remembered my name." As I said, "Daniel, look what someone got for you."
It was not the shoes, it was the name.
It was the name. Wow, whammo. That was from the mouth of a babe. "You remembered my name. Thanks for the shoes, but you remembered my name." That is crucial, that we remember their names, that we know their stories. And Daniel taught me that. You know, Jim, we say on a lot that our ministry is not serving 1,000 women one way, but one woman 1,000 ways, one child 1,000 ways. Many, there's groups out there that are very good at serving thousands, but that's not us. Mm. And ours is a ministry to know their name.
Mm. That is fascinating.
Yeah. So, and Daniel, you know, Daniel grew up, became a Marine, and he's doing okay.
Oh,
his mom
good for
still
Daniel.
Calls once in a while.
Yeah.
So Daniel taught me that, the importance of knowing them individually. And then there was Janice. And you know, I'm sure many people have heard my stories of Janice through the years. We all get, as staff, you know, you can't get too close to anybody so that they really pull your chains and push your buttons. But we all do. We all have that one. Janice was mine. But one of the things, and Janice said many things. I could have written a book about Janice. One of the things she said that really impacted me, I was behind her in the lunch line one day, and we were having artichokes. Pretty fancy,
nice.
Huh? Janice had never seen artichokes, mm-hmm. and she got to the bowl, and she looked at me and said, "What? You people eat boiled pine cones?"
Didn't see that coming.
No. Yeah, but there's mayonnaise over here to go with them. And so how could that teach me anything other than that's funny? That was a cultural shock.
Huh.
You know, it's like Janice, remember, there was a tree out here that turned bright, bright red in the fall, and she was so jazzed because she had never noticed that before.
Wow.
And she talked about the pilgrims even that year, that she never thought they were real people. They were just these
word.
Funny little things, little decoration. But Janice and her boiled pine cone line, that was such an eye-opener for me culturally, that, hey, these women are coming from a real different place than I am.
Yeah.
And I have got to respect what they're trying to do. Mm. And Jim, remember, it's not Janice who told me this one, but and this isn't even my memorable line book, but it was one of our gals who'd been a prostitute and she walked away from that, did very well while she was here, totally went a different life. But eventually she got back into prostitution, and somebody said, how could she have done that after all she learned and how well she was doing? And I realized that for her to stop being a prostitute was as hard as it would be for me to start, because of the culture, because of our past, because of all of those forces and influences that guided us, that pushed us. That wasn't Janice's boiled pine cone line so much as just that realization of, hey, you got to respect where they're coming from and how hard it is to change.
Got a minute and a half.
All right. Another line. Minute and a half has to go to Florence, chapel leader Florence.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Chapel leader, remember, she used to play her accordion. Huh. Florence is not doing so well. It's a little tough to play her accordion now, but she's still coming with her husband. And we're always in chapel. Of course, we want to pray for the women, and we want them to really understand the power of prayer. But Florence was dealing with a woman that every time Florence would come on Tuesday, the same woman would ask for prayer for her headache. And Florence one day had it and said, have you taken any aspirin? And, of course, the woman said no. And Florence said, God will not do anything for us we can do on our own. Don't even ask him to do what we can do for ourselves. And that's a fine line for us here, because we don't want the women using God as a Cupid doll. Mm-hmm. You just rub his head when you want something. Mm-hmm. That is not the power of our God. Mm-hmm. And that really struck me, that how important it is to teach women that that's not the God that we serve, the Cupid doll God. So,
yeah.
Boy, I could talk all day about just those memorable lines, Jim, and what the power they've had on me. But, yeah, when I say God is working on me, that's the kind of stuff I get to be dealing with.
You know, week after week, and we're down to the last few seconds, really, we have women in here, and we hear their stories, and we ask our listeners to pray for them. How can listeners pray for you?
Well, first, that I keep the passion, that I know when it's time to leave. You know, as I look at 24 years, I think, I'm not going to be here forever. I know that. I don't want to. And we, each of us, try to build our particular units here at Evangel Home. We know we're not indispensable. We have the philosophy, if you get hit by a truck, who's going to pick up the pieces of your job? That, I'm not indispensable. And we've talked on the air about health things. I've got neck issues that I'm looking at, so.
Okay, there you have it, my listening friend. And we're completely out of time. Jerry, thank you, and congratulations.
You're
I'm
welcome.
So excited to have had this opportunity to share a few of those short years with you. And my listening friend, thanks for joining us on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno, find them online at evangelhome.org. That phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. God bless you, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home of Fresno.